Thank you very much, Neville. That's a great introduction to the theme that we want to look at this morning, and that is the power and purpose of praise. And one of the things that I personally take comfort in is just the raw honesty expressed to God in many of the Psalms. God already knows how we're feeling, so we might as well tell him openly and honestly. And we can have those conversations with God, and I believe God's shoulders are big enough and broad enough to cope with my and your whinging and moaning occasionally. In fact, he appreciates it, I believe. Psalm 13 is a classic example of that. And we have this from David in Psalm 13. He says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Many people have, especially in Auckland, have been asking that question, haven't they? How long, Lord, are we going to be stuck in lockdown? "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." You know, David here, doesn't he? He just speaks out of this place of deep and distressing anxiety. My Bible reading notes that I use said this about this particular reading. It says, having protested, David's petition and prayer shifts to the source of his hope. While speaking to God, he simultaneously addresses his own thoughts, shining light into his dark situation and declaring victory into his previously defeatist mindset. It's in the second third of the psalm that David in prayer begins to climb upwards from the depths. We're given no indication that David's circumstances have changed, yet he's moved from a place of desperation to one of rejoicing. In the concluding third of the psalm, David expresses a song of faith as he places his trust in God by recalling his goodness in the past. This is a consistent pattern throughout the psalms and one we'd do well to imitate. As you read this, you may be asking, how long? How long, Lord, in different contexts? And be assured that it is not wrong to sense abandonment from God at times. As Gerald Wilson reflects, often when one is most firmly in the centre of God's purpose and will, our attacks most severe and God seems most distant. May we be courageous in expressing ourselves with honesty to our Lord, whilst confident in his desire to shine light into dark places and peace into the chaos. A hidden face is no sign of a forgetful heart, Lord. Grant that I may know your comfort and your heart inclined towards me today. Great words, really encouraging words. And they really got me thinking about the power of praise as a soothing balm. Almost to see praise as an antidepressant, if you like, or a mind-altering drug that helps us to renew our minds in times of crisis and struggle and hardship. And in light of Psalm 13, I've been meditating and thinking a lot about this verse here. No, I've gone too far. That's okay. Now, this is a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 13. And it says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And I've just been asking that question, what does it actually mean to offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually? Is that actually even possible? And here's a definition of sacrifice that I came across. And it says that sacrifice means giving to the Lord whatever he requires of our time, our earthly possessions and our energies to further his work. Our willingness to sacrifice is an indication of our devotion to God. People have always been tried and tested to see if they'll put the things of God first in their lives. And Neville, last week you reminded us that potentially anything that we put before or ahead of God is considered an idol. And so before we examine the benefits of continual sacrificial praise, there is a more significant and obvious thing to consider. And Neville's already said it this morning. And that is that, why should we offer a continual sacrifice of praise? It is because God is worthy. He is worthy to be praised all the time. Whether we feel like it or not, God is worthy to be praised at a personal cost to us. You know, in the Old Testament, worship and praise required sacrifice to be made, didn't it? An animal sacrifice that once brought a pleasing fragrance to God has now been replaced by words and deeds of praise that acknowledge God's holy name in spirit and in truth. Sacrifice is a gift, declaring that God is worthy and that we are not. And by definition, it is difficult. It is costly and will take time and effort, and it requires us to be intentional about it. It may not happen that naturally. And to be frankly honest, praise is not always easy. And sometimes it's actually just really, really difficult. And there's a number of reasons for that that I have found in my life that you might also be able to identify. I have found it particularly difficult to praise God when I feel that He has not met my expectations. Life has not quite turned out as I had planned it. That's difficult. Difficult to praise God. When I feel that God has let me down, when there have been unanswered prayers in my life, I find that difficult to praise God in those times. When life gets tough and my mind is full of other things, swirling thoughts that keep me awake at night, praise is not something that comes naturally to me. When the mundane takes over, the demands of daily life, the repetitive and ruling routines can put my heart to sleep with regard to praising God. Life is not always exciting. We don't always sit on the mountaintop, do we? When I have too much and are too comfortable and have become too self-reliant, allowing other things to dethrone God, praise is not something that is on my lips. When I've let God down, and I want to hide from Him for a bit, I definitely don't want to praise God in those times. Or I feel that God is hiding His face from me, and He just doesn't seem close. It happens quite often. It's hard to praise God when I'm angry. It's hard to praise God when I'm sad. I find it hard to praise God when I'm annoyed, or anxious, or worried, or scared, or lonely, or tired, or frustrated, or complaining, or bored, or suffering. It's hard to praise God. This is a difficult verse to put into practice. But I think that's the point, is that these times that I am needing to praise God the most, I can't do those things, I can't be those things when I'm praising God. The sacrificial praise of God effectively becomes a remedy for these things, because it shifts my focus off me and it puts it back onto God. And that is transforming, and that is mind-altering. In an article that Amy Dunham wrote, she said these things, and I really resonated with this. She said, because of Scripture, we know that we don't just confess God's name when it feels good, or when it looks good, or when it benefits us in some way. We offer praise, as in Hebrews 13, verse 15, as it says there, continually, and this means without ceasing in all circumstances, like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's not just a good idea, it is the will of God that we be sacrificing, offering a sacrifice of praise continually to God. It is our duty to offer the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Therefore, I am learning to commit to acting out of the duty of praise as the beginning of joy rather than the result of it. I really like that. Our praise is a decision, an act out of the beginning of joy, knowing the beginning of joy, not as a result of it. Do you get that? I need to praise God, not when I'm feeling joyful, but so that I become joyful. Isn't that interesting? In other words, the Bible says that you can praise God even when you don't feel like it, and that will change you. That's what I love about coming to church to worship with you guys. I can have a pretty rotten morning, but through coming and focusing in on God and praise and worship, contemplating the Lord's table, I hope that I leave here in a completely different mindset. I think that's the power of coming together, isn't it, to worship God. And as this verse says, Hebrews chapter 13, we're able to do all this, not in our own strength, but through Him. Through who? Through Jesus. We're able to see the great, great love of God for us. A great, great God. His great, great love, who holds everything in the palm of His hands and bends it to His will with a word. Through Jesus, our mediator, we are able to access the Father in order to give Him due praise. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Through praise, we enjoy God. Imagine that. Praise focuses us on where our joy comes from and where our gaze should be, and the result is our strength. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Praise is good for us. Awesome. And whether through prayer, whether through meditation on God's word, whether through thanksgiving or praise, we can lift tired hands and hearts, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard, and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, Isaiah 6:3. So to praise God when we don't feel like it, or we don't feel like God deserves it, requires a sacrifice and a bending of our wills. It requires a humble heart and a determined act of our will. It requires a determination to believe that whatever is going on, God is still good. He is still worthy. He is still faithful to His promises. God is good and can be trusted. Our praise, as someone once said, is not based on our opinion of God's job performance. It's not our job to review how God is doing. Our praise is not a reward to give to God depending on the quota of blessing that He's dished out into our week. That's not the way praise is to work. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What a great hymn that we sometimes sing. It doesn't matter how you do this, it just matters that you do. God has made us each incredibly unique. And part of that is the special way that you connect with God in praise and worship. For some, that is in music and song, and there's an incredible variety that exists in this space. Some of us do it through prayer. Some of us do it through spoken word, or silence, or nature, or maybe a mixture of all of the above. But the reality is, it doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do it. How do you focus in on God and praise Him continually? God wants our praise, not our appraisal. And that's quite different. He wants our praise, not our appraisal. So what happens? What happens when we can do this with the help of Jesus? We press into God. And here's a list of other benefits that I have thought about that come to us when we offer this continual sacrifice of praise to the Lord. When we praise God continually, what happens? Number one, a spirit of heaviness is lightened. Isaiah 61 verse 3 talks of a crown of beauty instead of a crown of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The power of praise is a lightened spirit. Secondly, the power of praise enables us to refocus on the one who truly satisfies, the one who can help us in our times of need. And the only one that can do that is God. Thirdly, the power of praise leads us into a deeper place of humility as we get reminded that it should be more about God than me. And boy, we need to be reminded of that continually. Number four, the enemy and his lies are muted. You turn up the volume of praise and Satan's deceptive whispers are drowned out. Isn't that cool? You're worried about what the devil is planting in your mind, then turn your mind to praising God, and he will be quiet. He will be silenced. Number five, our complaining and our negativity have cold water poured all over them. How can you complain about others and be a whinge bum when you're focused on praising the holiness and the glory of God? So if you have a problem with criticizing others, moaning and whinging, then think about, am I offering a continual sacrifice of praise? Number seven, we open the door to God's blessing as we become more in tune with him and responsive to his spirit. And so we walk closer with God. We become in tune with his spirit. God's spirit loves nothing more than the name of God to be lifted in our praise. Number eight, we respond more openly and willingly to the needs of others. And you'll notice the second verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, it says, doesn't it? It says, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God has blessed us. Not just what comes out of our mouth, it's also expressed in our actions. And so when we praise God and our minds are focused right, that will flow out into the way that we respond and care for others around us. I think that's a beautiful thing, a lovely side effect of praise. Number nine, we invite the Lord's presence. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, he inhabits the praises of his people. When we come together as a community and praise God together, God's presence is with us. Isn't that incredible? God is here today. He's with us because we hold up his name. Number 10, our spirits are refreshed and renewed in his presence. We are strengthened by his peace and we're refueled by his joy. Through a heart of praise, we realize that God doesn't necessarily change our situations and work through our problems. He changes our hearts. In his presence, there is a fullness of joy. Psalm 16, verse 11. And lastly, number 11. Through praise and worship, God's power is displayed. And if there's a story in the Bible that I think shows us the most in Neville, I think someone read this verse this morning. Barry, it was you, wasn't it? Context, of course, is we have Paul and Silas in prison for preaching the gospel. They'd cast a demon out of a girl who was obviously providing an income source. They'd been dragged before the magistrate. They'd been beaten severely, the scriptures say, with rods. Had been taken into the very bottom of the dungeon and put in stocks. And it was late at night, and it says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. And later we read, the jailer and all his family came to know Christ that very night. Wow. Wow. The story sums it up for me. Were they in a happy place? No. Their circumstances had gone from bad to worse. Were they in pain? Absolutely. But they took their eyes off their circumstances and in a sacrifice of praise chose to worship God. That's incredible, isn't it? What a testimony. It's also true for us. Those things that imprison us, those things that shackle us and chain us, are broken and loosened, and others come to know faith when we praise God with our words and with our deeds. And so here's the challenge that I want to leave you with this morning. What will you choose to do? We can stay, can't we, absorbed in the worries of this world. We can be overcome by the narrative of fear. We can stay focused on what is happening around us, all the mess and the pain and the hopelessness. Or we can fix our eyes on the one who holds it all together, who holds us in his loving hand and has provided us with all that we need in Christ. God wants us to know the power and the transformation that comes from renewing our minds through the continual and sacrificial praise that declares him Lord of all. Amen. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Praise and worship are the forerunner and the foundation of our ability to obey the greatest command, to love God and to love others. Amen to that. So, let's keep looking up, lift God up, and in turn be lifted up by the profession of his name and our commitment to doing good to others. I just want to finish with a prayer. And this prayer is Matt Redman's song that we listened to during communion. You may have noticed the words up on the screen. You may have heard the music. And it's called 1,000 Reasons. And I just want to... 10,000. Oh, are you there? That's a whole lot better, isn't it? 10 times better. 10,000 Reasons by Matt Redman. And I just want to pray the words of this prayer before I hand back to you. So let's pray. God, bless you with all my soul. God, I want to worship your holy name. I want to sing like I never have before. I want to worship your holy name. The sun has come up and a new day has arrived. It's time for me to sing your song again. Whatever happens, God, whatever passes, whatever lies before me, let me be found singing when the evening comes. God, you are rich in love. You are incredibly slow to anger. Your name is so great, and your heart so kind. God, for all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. And God, on that day when my strength is failing and the end is drawing near, my time has come, God, may it be so that my soul will be found to still be singing your praise unending 10,000 years and forevermore. Bless you, God. O my soul, may I worship your holy name. May I sing your praises like I never have before. I will worship your holy name. I will worship your holy name, Lord. I will worship your holy name. Amen.